Hi, and great to be with you to share God's word. Today we're going to be doing something a little different. I've invited two members of Bayside Church to come in and discuss a topic dealing with life curveballs. And we have all, I'm sure, experienced a curveball at some point in our life. I know I have in my life, and recently, just a couple of months ago, I did, quite minor in the scheme of things. My sister and I decided to do a hike in the Brisbane Ranges. We love getting out in nature. We love experiencing new trails, and we downloaded this particular hike. 10 minutes into this hike, things started to change. The terrain started to become a little bit steeper. The well-worn path of the trail didn't seem to be quite as evident. And as I asked my sister about it, she said, "Oh, don't worry. The reviews say that, you know, it gets a bit tricky in some parts of this track." But as we progressed, it started to get really steep. We were actually walking through bushland, and something felt completely wrong. And as we looked at our GPS on our phones, mine had stopped, so I couldn't tell where we were. But according to my sisters, we were in the thick of the Brisbane Ranges, well way off the track. And it became quite evident we were lost. We were lost in the middle of a national park. And I'd like to tell you that I was optimistic at the time, but panic absolutely set in, because every news story of people getting lost in a national park, having to sleep in the, overnight, experiencing hypothermia, lack of food, animals, the works, dying, flashed through my mind. And I had to, you know, basically do some real deep breathing to calm myself down. And, of course, we prayed. We were trying to do our very best to get out of the situation. And I'm here today, and obviously it worked out okay. It was 1 hour of harrowing experience for me, but really, in the scheme of things, quite a small thing. But I use that as a metaphor. I use that as a metaphor that we deal with life's curveballs, something that is unexpected, something that is surprising, disruptive, that puts us into a new terrain, something that we've never, ever had to experience before. There is no track that we are able to necessarily follow. We're in a dark place, and it's hard to navigate. It's hard to know how to move forward. And it can be anything. It could be a diagnosis. It could be the death of a loved one, a relationship breakdown, perhaps the death of a dream or a death of an opportunity or a career, something that is unexpected, something that's not in our plan. And as people of faith, we need to know how to navigate these times. And I'm acutely aware that there's a narrative amongst Christians that if we're following Christ, that everything in life should be great, that everything should be blessed, that everything should be, you know, yes and amen and open doors. And whilst that may be the experience, we equally have to hold in tension what Jesus says in John 16:33, and it's, "Here on earth you will have trials and tribulations and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." So sometimes life is truly unfair. Sometimes we're presented with situations that there is no rhyme or reason why we are experiencing those things. The story of Job is a great reminder of that. Here is a man who was righteous. He'd done nothing wrong. It wasn't a choice that he'd made, and there was a natural consequence. Yet he suffered greatly. But he hung on to God, and God blessed him for that. So we do need to know how to deal with life's curveballs. And I think it's really important as a community of faith that we know how to stand with people when life's curveballs present themselves, that we know how to be with the other. And so today I've invited two Baysiders, Luke Brewer and Natalie Sear, to share their stories. And I hope you're able to hold these stories in your heart. I hope you're able to have an open mind and to learn and to be encouraged as you hear them. So welcome, Luke, and welcome, Natalie. Thank you for joining me today. It's really great to have you. Luke, let's start with you. 2004, I believe, you joined Bayside Church with your wife, Kay, and your two sons. I think Reese was 8 and Kyle was 10 at the time.
Around that time.
Your wife told me, I'll take it by her word.
Yep.
So it was only shortly after, in 2005, that life dealt you with a pretty big curveball. Do you want to share with us about that?
Certainly. So I'm your typical guy, doesn't like going to the doctor too much. More of a chore than And I did have Kay on my back going, come on, you know, go get your cholesterol checked and just make sure everything's, you know, tick it off. So, yeah, I made an appointment to the doctor and went along, and it was just, I reflect on it. It was one comment I said to the doctor at the time when he said, oh, you know, is everything okay? And I said, oh, I just get this nagging little headache every now and then. It just feels like there's a screwdriver on my head just giving it a bit of a twist. It was quite painful sometimes. And he said, oh, any family history of anything? I said, yeah. Probably the only thing I can remember is when I was young, my dad had a aneurysm when he was 49. And he said, oh, okay, so let's go get a scan done and just make sure it's you know, that everything's okay. And so the following week, I specifically remember on a Thursday morning, I went and had a scan done. And Thursday afternoon, I remember Kay was in the car with me. We're driving past Southland, phone rings. Pushed the button on the car because it had the phone answering thing, and it was the doctor, and he said, hey, look, I need you to come and see me. If you can drop your kids off somewhere and bring your wife in, we need to have a chat.
Wow.
And my mind straight away went to cancer. Don't know why, that's just where my mind went to, and I was very nervous.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I went and saw the doctor, and he confirmed that I had an aneurysm in the brain.
Wow.
And he was very, very concerned, and he rang a specialist, and it was the Thursday before Christmas, before Easter, and so all the doctors are on holidays, as you can imagine, we finally got hold of some guy who was a specialist in that area, and he rang me back and had a chat and said, look, why don't you just come in next week? We'll have a talk about it. You've had it most likely your whole life, and we'll deal with it then. So I went away with my family on Easter holidays, and with this nagging thought of the what ifs.
Yes.
And
what was the what ifs? Was it the fear of it popping, or?
I was in shock. Yeah. I was like, the what ifs are you start thinking of you know, am I going to die? And then you start thinking of family and what's for them, and a lot of things were going through my mind at the time, and we'd had planned a Easter vacation with Kay's family because her grandmother was close to passing away, so we wanted to have some special time with them, and we did. It was great. So yeah, the following week I met with the surgeon, and he was very reassuring, very skillful. Said, "Yep, we'll get in there, we'll sort it. Not a problem." I think it was a week later I went in for surgery and they opened me up and they do what surgeons do. And the human body is amazing. You can't probably tell that I've got a scar that went from one side of my head to the other, and I healed up fantastically. But it was a journey. It was a significant journey in my life, and reflecting on that, probably even more of a journey for my family.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what were the emotions? Can you recall what was going through your mind? Like, you've touched on that a little bit, you know, your fear of dying, your family. What were the major concerns that you were having to deal with?
Obviously the doctor was very honest and said if something goes wrong, you could...
In the surgery?
Yep, you could bleed out. That's probably the main danger is when they're actually operating.
Did you have to have conversations because of that, like before you went into surgery with Kay? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we put a few things in place. I went and bought her a new car.
just to get practicals.
I'm the practical person. Yeah. I went and bought her a new car and just set things up just in case. You just don't know. Yeah.
It's quite confronting, I imagine.
Absolutely. And I think, reflecting back, I was in shock.
Yeah.
For weeks, probably months, to be honest. Mm. It was quite an event.
So at the time you didn't realise we were in shock, you were just dealing with what was
absolutely
presented.
Yeah. You're reflecting back, I can see that my behaviour was in shock.
Yeah.
At the time it was just, I'm the practical person, I like to just tick things off and make sure things are in place. Yeah, in the pit of my stomach was just nerves.
Mm.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I was not doing, I wasn't coping that great.
No.
it was, yeah, difficult time.
A challenging time.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Natalie, you and your husband, Shawan, yes. Joined, you came to Australia from Malaysia in 2017.
Yep.
And you have two children, Amy and Alistair. And, yeah, in 20, well, you've had to experience two curveballs in your life, mm-hmm. one in 2013 and one last year. Do you want to share your story?
Yeah. So in 2013, Shawan and I had been married for 5 years then, so we thought, okay, it's time to start a family, it's time to have a baby. Mm. So I got pregnant, and every stage of the pregnancy went really well. Every time we went to see the doctor, she's always like, oh, everything's going so well, everything's normal, it's great, no, nothing to worry about. So that was until almost the end of the pregnancy, and then I was 36 weeks pregnant at the time. I just realized something's not quite right. Like, I feel like the baby's not moving normally, and there's just something in my gut saying this, I probably should get it checked. So I did. I went in to see the doctor, and then she did scan, and then she told me, oh, something's not right. That's a problem. And the first thing I thought was, what's the problem? Did the baby like flip position again? Because the baby had flipped to, you know, like hit down the previous week. So I thought, oh, maybe the baby's just went up and is in breech position. So I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be a difficult labor and birth. But then she just told me there's no heartbeat. And I think at that time when she told me that, I just asked her, what do you mean? Because I just couldn't, I think my brain just couldn't understand what did no heartbeat mean. And she just kept saying, I'm so sorry, there's no heartbeat. I'm so sorry, baby has passed away. Wow. So, yeah.
Gosh.
It was very, very hard. Like in that instant, our life just fell apart and everything just was not. Everything changed at that very moment.
Mm.
So then the next thought was, do I need to go for like immediate C-section to get the baby out? But she said, it's okay because the baby's already been at that stage. We can still wait for 1 day. So just come back the next day for delivery.
Mm.
So then we spent the rest of the day just praying, trying to believe for a miracle and just believing that if anyone could raise the dead, it would be God. So we just kept praying and believing. But at the same time, we also were trying to prepare ourselves that even if God, you know, doesn't choose to revive the baby, things would be fine in a way. We didn't know how, but things would be fine. And yeah, so in the end, the baby was born still. And
wow. So, and you know, recently you've had another diagnosis in your family.
Yeah.
Are you up to talking about that?
Yeah, sure. So last year my son was 4 and it was during the lockdown period. So he started he felt like he was becoming lazy because he didn't really want to run around, didn't want to play much. So we thought, oh, maybe this lockdown thing and lots of screen time is, you know, making him lazy, and we were trying to force him to go out and play and do things. But we also realized that he's looking a bit pale and, you know, other symptoms like lots of bruises, and he's complaining of pains and aches and everywhere. So we thought, maybe just to be safe, let's get him checked. So I brought him to the GP, and the moment the GP saw him, she was like, we need to do a blood test. So brought him to do a blood test, and then that very afternoon I got a call from the doctor to say, you need to bring him to the emergency department immediately because we suspect that your son's got leukemia. So again, it was all very shocking, of and course. We just had to rush him to the hospital. And then when we reached the hospital, they did another blood test to confirm. And then they did tell us that he had leukemia. And at that time, his blood counts were all drastically low. Like, I think his platelets were 3. And for normal children, it should be about 400, I think.
Wow, around. So very low.
It was very low. And everything else was low. And it was just, it was terrible.
Well, you both mentioned shock. So, and I can imagine you would have been shocked with Alexa's being born still and then hearing the diagnosis of Alistair. How did you deal with that shock? Like, what was your way to get through that shock?
Well, I prayed.
Yeah.
I guess at that time, the only thing that we could really do was just to pray because immediately we could just bring up our fears and concerns to God.
Yeah.
But I also talked to a lot of people around me. Like I reached out to my family, to friends who are close to me. I don't really know how I dealt with the shock. Basically, just lived through it.
And how did the previous, what you previously experienced with Alexa, and I can imagine that would have, I'm sure it's an ongoing thing. How did that experience help you to navigate what you're experiencing now with Alistair?
I guess that helped me to remember that no matter how painful a time could become, it will pass. Because, I mean, when we lost Alexa, I just couldn't imagine any future with children because I just didn't know, how would things turn out. But then after that, I have two beautiful kids. So then, just reminding myself that through the darkest times, you know, the worst will still pass and God is always there. No matter how, like to be honest, sometimes during the worst moments, you just don't feel that God is there, but just remembering that He is still there and you can still trust Him.
So even when you don't have a sense that you can feel His presence and whether you feel He's there, you kind of fell back on this knowing that He is there even if you don't feel it. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes.
Right. Wow. Was that your experience at all, Luke?
Probably.
Did you ever question God's?
No.
Okay.
For me, it was definitely, I still have a vivid memory of the time at Easter time when we were spending with Kay's family before the surgery. And it was definitely a time where Kay and I grew closer together. And had times, and I still remember us strolling down the beach together just praying. And it was definitely going back into my faith, going back into, I suppose, what brought Kay and I together. It was we spent a lot of time doing some ministry work together, and so that was praying together and doing a lot of stuff with God together, and actually brought us a lot closer together.
In your relationship.
Yeah.
As well as your relationship with God.
Absolutely, the three of us together. I specifically remember us walking down the beach. Kay's family were behind us and the two of us were just praying together and just talking about it and just definitely felt God's peace over the situation.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Yeah.
And how, can I ask, how has it built resilience for both of you? Natalie, if you want to answer that quote first. How's the situation? How do you see it building resilience in you?
I guess in the way that, like I said just now, it showed me that no matter how bad things can become, there is still light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
In various ways. So it just helps me to try to put things into perspective and try to just hold on to God's promises, believing that we will be able to write this out.
Yeah, wonderful. Is there a scripture that has meant a lot to you through this whole experience?
I've had a few.
Yeah.
So one of it is that that God can do exceedingly abundant and more than we can ever ask or imagine.
Yeah, something wonderful. Like Ephesians.
So that always reminds me that when I pray and ask God to come through for us, for example, He's actually able to do even more than what I can imagine. So I hold that very tightly. And the other one was, can't remember which one exactly, but it's about how the Lord goes with us into the battles to fight for us against our enemies and to bring us to victories. So
amazing. Great scriptures.
Yeah, I really held on to those very tightly.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And also that, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? So I have to keep reminding myself that, I mean, because when all these things happen, it's very easy to feel like God is against us.
Yes.
Like why after taking Alexa, now it's Alistair, you know, why us and why again and why all these things? But just to remind ourselves that no, God is for us and He's not against us. And
And did you feel you could be, you could vent those thoughts with God? Because often people feel like they can't. oh, I've got to hold that back, and they stopped the conversation. Did you feel you could express those feelings to God yourself?
Yeah, I did. God knows how I felt.
Yeah, he's clear on it.
Yeah, he's very clear. And I think because when I first lost Alexa, I did a lot of reading on Psalms, the book of Psalms, and Proverbs, and I think those books also showed me that the people in the Bible were very genuine and real. When they went through tough times, they were just honest and real about it. And,
yeah.
And so those helped me to be true to God.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a psalm there going, "Where are you, God?"
Yeah.
Those exactly. questions that we have in our own humanity and questioning God. And you know, Job even did that.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very healthy part of it. What about you, Luke? What were there scriptures for you that that helped you during that time?
I wouldn't say there was really scriptures that I focused on at all. I think for me, going through the experience is, and I am the practical me, is how can I use that experience to help others?
Mm.
So reflecting back on it is, you know, everybody goes through stuff.
Mm.
But how does that stuff shape me, mould me into who I am? And rather than dwelling on that experience and going, oh, poor me, being able to use that experience to help others is I think, profound for me that, you know, God, for me, God lets stuff happen because, you know, that seems to be part of life, and we're not made to exist forever, where our bodies are going to die one day. And but how can I use my experiences, my faith and the journey that I've had to help other people? Mm. So
it's a great desire, and I can see that resides in both of you, especially as well with your book and you being practical and helping others when they're in a time of need.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm curious, how did you sort of synchronize what you were experiencing with your faith? Did your faith get strengthened? It sounds like a little bit that it did when you talked to me about Kay.
Yep.
But were there questions at all, or was it just like, okay, we're cool with this?
Lots of questions. My journey of recovery was quite long.
Okay.
Any brain surgery you get is, it was probably a 2 to 3 month recovery sort of time frame of waking up after the surgery, and I just felt like I'd been hit over the head with an axe. And that sensation of looking through, it was like looking through a cloud. I just could not think straight, could not see straight.
Mm.
I have moments of clarity. One person was Troy Neves, who used to go to Bayside Church.
Mm.
I remember him rocking up to say hi in hospital, which was awesome. And those little moments of people doing those little things really helped me in my recovery. Another one was, I suppose that helped in my recovery, was doing some physical work. And it was suggested by my surgeon eventually to start doing physical work will help the brain recover. So rather than thinking just the physical work side of things, I remember Nick Lauder helping me pull down a wall because we were doing some work at home and doing some construction work and building out and up and whatever at the same time. And it's a bit of, I think, you know, I look back and go, you know, God had a plan for all of this that happened to me, even though it wasn't quite my plan.
No.
But a good memory of Nick helping me out there, pulling bricks down, and just that time we spent together.
Mm. It's great.
It was important, yeah.
Yeah. And for yourself, Natalie, was it something that you had to really try and synchronise in terms of what had happened and your faith as well?
Well, I guess when it first happened, the natural response was to question, like, why, or to wonder, like, if there's some sin in my life that brought this to me or something. But I think overall it didn't, because I was just assured of God's love and that it's not personal and that life is just, you know, full of mysteries, and we never understand why bad things happen. And yeah. But the most important thing was that God will always be with us, and He can use anything for His good, and He can turn everything around if we just let Him.
Mm.
Yeah, He can use our pain for better purposes as well.
Well, you mentioned to me actually on the phone when we were chatting that why, you mentioned why is not always the best question to ask.
Yeah.
And I love this. And you said there's a better question to ask. Can you elaborate a little bit more about that?
For sure. So every time bad things happen, we tend to ask why this happened, why us, why now? But as I said, life is just, you know, you can't explain a lot of things in life. And what was the verse again? Something about like the rain falling on both the righteous and the wicked. So sometimes things just happen. I mean, when good things happen, we don't ask why. Why am I blessed? So I realized through going through all these things that why is not the right question to ask, but rather to ask, you know, like how would I respond to this? Or how do we move forward? Yeah. And how do we continue living a life that shows God's grace despite the challenges that we go through?
Great questions. Great questions too.
Difficult though, but
I imagine so. But great questions because a lot of people do spend a lot of the time in the why, and they may not ever get that answer. So it can take them further down in a spiral and often away from God itself. So I think the how is a brilliant reflection question. I'm curious for both of you, what did you find helpful as you were going through these challenges and unhelpful in terms of people around you or just even personally? We'll start with you, Luke.
Yeah, definitely. The unhelpful was the how are you? And it was the most awkward question because I just had my head
And isn't the most natural question people always ask? How are you? Or how do you think I am?
Exactly. The helpful was always for me, the practical, but not just for me, but for my family. One thing I'd definitely recognise that experience that I went through had more impact for my family than it did for me.
Okay. So how so? You felt they were more impacted by what was going on?
Yeah, definitely. So Kay's got a bit more of a story behind that on her how she was impacted because her grandmother passed away at the same time.
Right. Okay.
So, but just the practical help for them also helped me.
Mm.
So if they were able to be helped in any way, that gave them, I suppose, a bit more freedom to help me when I needed it.
Mm. So practical help being like making meals, is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Meals, go do the shopping, whatever that just helped.
Mm.
And even just a phone call, not always to the person that's been impacted, but to their family.
Yes, wider family.
Yeah, I definitely recognised if Kay got rung up and was, hey, how's Luke doing and how are you doing?
Mm.
That support for the wider family is really important.
Mm. So you said the unhelpful was how are you? What else was a little bit unhelpful? Or what would be a better way to phrase the questions if people are curious to know how you are doing?
I think the better question would be for me, because I am practical, is there anything I can do to help?
Right.
No, I know you, and just recognise, just call it out. I know you've been through a hard time.
Mm.
Is there anything I can do to help? Because the how are you questions, I don't know, I find that was a bit awkward at the time.
Sure.
So.
And that's really good to understand because different personality types and how people respond is really key.
Yeah.
What about you, Natalie? What did you find? Let's start with the unhelpful and then what you found helpful.
Okay. Unhelpful would be people trying to tell me that, you know, God did this for a reason, or people who were trying to just throw Bible verses to me.
Mm.
I mean, I know they have good intentions, but it's really not what I needed during these difficult times.
No.
Mostly that. Or
so what would have helped if they had known?
Just being there for me, I think. Mm. So I'm different from Luke. I think if people were to ask me, how are you? I'm Yeah. I'm quite happy. I'm at least I get to talk to someone because I guess we're just different. I like to talk and yes. just share like how I feel and what I'm going through at that moment. So if people would just ask me how am I instead of, you know, be quick to give me advices or assurances or things like that. But of course, I know they're just trying to build my faith at that time. But sometimes, I mean, I know that God loves me. I know that God is my healer. But at this time, even knowing God's promises, it's still painful to go through the situation. And I really just need someone there to say, I'm hurting with you and I'm journeying with you.
And that's so, look, some of the time we don't need to be quoting scripture, we just need to be doing it in action. So less words. And that classic scripture of we mourn with those who are mourning and we rejoice with those rejoicing. We don't have to tell somebody that. We just need to be with them at the time, which is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. Natalie, I'm curious to know how this has impacted your view of life going forward, what you've experienced.
I guess it has taught me to be more understanding of people around me, to not be so quick to judge because someone might be going through difficult times of their own and to always, just trying to understand they might be in pain or suffering and to just try to be there for them as how I would want someone to be there for me.
Yeah. Because you've had that first.
But having said
experience.
That, I don't have the questions. Like, I know some people will come to me and ask, so what should I say to someone who has just gone through stillbirth? And I'm like, I don't know what you should say, but probably just, you know, because it really depends on that person and the relationship you have with that person. But just to be more mindful of and remembering that people are people.
Yeah.
And always trying to understand that.
And people who may be experiencing pain at the time and being sensitive to what their needs might.
Like everyone responds to pain differently.
Yeah.
Some people might want lots of people coming over to their house to visit them. Some might just want to be left alone and it's okay, but doesn't mean that you forget about them just because they've rejected, you know, your call for a week or so.
Yes.
Don't just move on without them, but give them time and then come back to them and just assure them that you're still there.
Yeah, great. And what about you, Luke? How's this changed your what you've experienced, which I know was several years ago? I mean, what are you having to continuously live with and how's it changed your worldview?
So the continuing to live with is, let me just explain a little bit about brain injuries and any surgery that, that a person gets in the brain. It can change their behaviours, anger management, personality can change. And I had no idea.
Yeah.
And coming out of it, I spoke a bit about the fog. It took me months to get through being able to think clearly. And
we're years, several years down the track now. So are you still having to live with some of the...
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So years later, I look back and I go, gee, I'm not the calm person that I was. I do react a lot quicker, especially when I'm, you know, when the curtains are down and I'm at home. My temper tends to come out a little bit more. When I keep it in check, it's okay. But it's just realising some of that and... Just to answer the other part of your question was around seeing other people that have had injuries and brain injuries and just having a bit more of a heart for them. It's really changed, I suppose, my view on people and having an understanding and a bit more of a sympathetic view to what people's challenges are.
And that's such a beautiful thing what you've highlighted because you go through these curveballs and your eyes have been opened to an experience and whilst it may feel like you're very alone in that experience when you're going through it at the time, what you then find is then later on down the track others have and then you end up having compassion, which means suffering with because you have understanding, you have that real life lived experience of what they're going through. It might be different because they're a different personality like you mentioned, but you have some glimpse of what they're facing, which I guess in a way helps you to feel like you're not alone in this world going through these things.
Yeah, there's definitely some people who I would not have previously related to, who I feel I can relate to, help out, understand their situations.
Wow. So. And then you can be Jesus too.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Beautiful. What would you say to someone right now, and this is a question we can probably end on for both of you, and we'll start with you, Natalie. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone who's in the middle of a curveball right now? And obviously, you know, we don't know what that is, but what would you? How would you encourage them?
First of all, I want them to know that whatever they're going through, it's not like a personal thing that God has against them.
Yeah.
They've not been chosen to go through this pain and suffering. But sometimes bad things just happen. And I guess they, as Christians, like you said at the start, you know, sometimes we think, we feel that we should always be full of faith, very strong, joyful at all times and kind of thing. But it is really okay to take the time to grieve, to be sad, to tell God what you really think, you know, of the whole situation. To know that there are bad days, but there are also good days. But ultimately, having done all that, remember not to lose hope. Because I think
that's great.
That hope will sustain you through it,
yes.
No matter how painful it is. But it's okay to feel and let your emotions run, but just don't lose hope.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you. That's great, great words. What about you, Luke?
I don't know if I can add any more to that. That was brilliant. Yeah, I think for me at the time and now was not losing hope and falling back. For me, it was falling back into my faith and really, I think I had a choice at the time, either grab onto God and going, hey, help,
yeah,
or to some point walking the journey alone. I'm glad I chose to walk with God through the journey. And I think that'd be my best advice that I could give is to do the journey with God, because it's a lot easier than to do it without Him.
Yeah, that's a great way to end. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for both of you. I just want to highlight, Natalie has written a beautiful story about her experience. It's called Alexa, A Mother's Journey of Love, Loss and Hope. And so if there's anyone that you know that would benefit from this beautiful story, touching story, please contact the church at connect@baysidechurch.com.au and we'll forward your email to Natalie and she will tell you all about this little book that you can get a hold of. Now, today's topic has been a big one, no doubt, and it would be remiss of me to not highlight to anyone in our congregation who might be touched by what we've shared here today. I'm encouraged by the scriptures and the thoughts that Natalie and Luke shared, that God is a God of hope, that God is with us, that God is Emmanuel, He walks with us. One of my favourite scriptures is, I never leave you, I never forsake you. And no matter what we go through in life, God's promise is to be with us. It may not always be what we want. It may not always be what we plan for, but He promises always to be with us and to be faithful. And so I'd like to just pray for it for you here today, if today's message has touched you in any way. Father God, I just thank You that You are Emmanuel, God with us, that You sent us Your one and only Son, and that He was with us and is in us today through His Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that the God of all comfort will comfort, that the God of strength will strengthen, that He will counsel, that we will know and experience Your presence in the midst of trials and tribulations, in the midst of curveballs, that, Lord, You would take us through every valley and that we would walk strongly with You, Lord God. Father, I just pray that today, if anyone is in mourning, that You would just reach out to them and comfort them with Your love. Lord, I thank You that as a community we can stand together and that we can be there for each other when times are tough. Lord, I pray that You would grant us the wisdom, the discernment, the practical know-how, how to stand alongside others, that we do not shy away from these moments, but that we walk courageously, reflecting Christ's love to each other and to the world around us. And I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And if today you're needing any pastoral care, please do not hesitate to contact the church office. You can go to our website. There is a pastoral care line that you can call us on, and we would be more than happy to have a chat with you. Thank you, and God bless.